Gospel of Luke, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Luke 24 and verse number 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk in our stead? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass here in these days? And he said unto them, What things? They said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and had crucified him. But we were hoping, that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done, yea. And certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, when they found not his body. They came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said unto them he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with him, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon, and they told what things were done in the way, and how it is known unto them in the breaking of bread. I really have one word before me this afternoon at the close of this meeting, and that is the word that's found in verse number 17. And it will not likely be too hard for you to remember what I spoke upon this afternoon, but I want to speak upon communications. We would not be saved. Even though Romans chapter 10 and 9 may have not been the verse predominant in our thinking when we got saved after. But salvation was the first time that we were able to communicate with heaven. We are able to confess Christ. We are simply able to admit to God something we could never do before, because you see, back in Genesis chapter 3, the enemy saw to it that communications were severed. They were broken. That was his purpose. That communion that man would have enjoyed with God, his purpose was to sever that. And dear child of God, he hasn't changed his ideas. He has not changed his tactics. His work is still to sever communications. I want to think of them in three very simple ways. I think that are covered in this chapter, Luke chapter 24. I want you to think of personal communications, because we need them. And then I want you to think of spiritual communication, because we do need spiritual communication. And beside that, we need practical communication. You'll notice that there's a change in Luke chapter 24 as the people begin on this journey. And I'm not going into the depths and the technicality of who they were and just all of this taking place. I just want to just draw from their experience what really is before me this afternoon. And it is the truth of communications being absolutely vital to us as God's people. But you notice that before the Lord Jesus comes, they are speaking about things that have happened. But then when he comes onto the scene, it's no longer things that have happened, but it's things that have come to pass. There's a lot of difference between things that we think happened in our life And then in retrospect, we look back and we see God has allowed certain things or they have come to pass. What made the difference? What made the difference was divine presence. Now bringing this down, and let's just start first of all and think this afternoon of personal communication. Wonderful, wasn't it, when we got saved, and we often say, we all do as we come amongst God's people, it's something that marked them before us. They were people that opened their hearts to us. They could communicate with us. You know, we live in a world today, a business world, where, you know, a few years ago, only a doctor had a pager on his belt, and he never had a cell phone. I didn't know what those were. But today, you work at the Gulls, you're wired for sounds. You know, they're taking orders on the run. It's no big deal. Whether it's the electronic mail, the fax machine, the internet itself, the cell phone, the pager, the two-way radio, you name it. We live in supposedly a communicative world. Yet there was never a time when there's a greater breakdown in communications than there is in the world today. Come on, we're in Canada. Wake up, brothers and sisters. Our country talks of breaking up over Bill C-103. You know what that is? French and English together. In other words, our country, its nationality, its oneness, literally stands poised on whether we can speak the same language or not. That's really what introduced that conflict that we have that would almost tear our country apart today. It comes on communication. How are we getting along communicating today? Let's start where it should always start. How are we doing, husband and wife, communicating? Are we communicating? Now wait a minute. A person could be a very big talker, but a very poor communicator. Okay? A person could be at no loss for words and yet not know how to communicate. I hope that we have a clear understanding what communication means from the Scripture before we're done here this afternoon. But let's just think of it, first of all, in a personal aspect. Communication. Hope I'm not speaking to the husbands here today and you're not communicating with your wife. Or wives that are not communicating with their husband. Now again, communication is not two or more people taking turns talking. There's lots of people that can talk, they can't communicate. Communicate is the opening of the person. Is the opening of, in this passage here, it was opening of hearts that made heart. That brought something together that had been severed before. It had literally changed, had left these people the result of real communications. Now that's where it starts. I can't expect children to communicate with parents that know there's a severe breakdown in our home because my parents don't communicate. Hope I'm speaking to fathers that can communicate with their children. I was very sorry one time. I've only saw it once and I hope I never see it again. To be in a home where a man was actually an elder in the assembly. And in all due respect to the man, I would have thought likely doing it a good job. Brethren and sisters, I was amazed that when his 17-year-old boy came down for breakfast in the morning, he couldn't even say hello to him. Couldn't even greet him with the day. Boy's still not saved. Now, if your boy's not saved or your daughter's not saved, doesn't mean that you haven't been a communicator. You understand me? I don't know what the man was thinking about. He didn't even give him a healthy grunt. He could at least acknowledge the day that the boy's feet had hit the floor? Come on, what are we talking about? Communication. As God's people, as Christians, that's what we live on. We live on communion. Communion with God is communicating with heaven. And communion, you wouldn't have to be an English scholar, a Greek scholar, let alone a good English scholar, to know that the word communion and the word communication are coming from the same root. It's the thought of things in common. And so the importance of communication. I am sorry to tell you, but I knew a couple, still living today, and heaven will be a wonderful place. Communications were so bad that they were actually writing on the blackboard to each other. Oh, that is factual, brother. You can laugh if you like,
can say about it, but things had got so bad that they put a blackboard up in the kitchen. And they started to communicate to each other, arguing on the blackboard. Ridiculous, brethren. That soon gets around the neighborhood. How can I go to the man next door, speak to him about his soul, and communicate spiritual values that he knows I can't speak to my wife?
No, but all that's before me this afternoon is this, is if we need a repair, if we need a repair this afternoon at communication levels, let's do it. Let's get it back. The importance of it.
I would suggest to you that what is happening in Luke chapter 24, first of all, is that communications are formed. I mean, here's two walking along the road and they have things in common that they are discussing. And so there's communications that automatically are formed and they start to communicate with each other. You know, there's times when communications actually have to be forced. Well, there's people I find much easier to talk to than others. There are those that I go out of my way, and I'm going to be absolute honest as I should be at any time, and any man should be on this platform. And I make no reservation in telling you, and you know whereof I speak, because you're the same. There are people we have to push ourselves to speak with them because we're not easy with them. Isn't that true? Do it, brethren. Do it. In God's name, sister. Your husband hasn't the intelligence, then you do it. None of this shutting down and we're not speaking. We've been going days on end and can't speak with our partner, can't speak with the children. Total breakdown in communication. We live in a world today, you know, they talk about all these communication things. Everybody comes pouring home for supper and one's sitting here watching one TV program and one's off playing on his internet in another room and he's got something there and nobody can come together around the supper table or the dinner table as we know about it and communicate. You know how he was known unto them here in the breaking of bread? How often that communication actually brought them around the table. Isn't that what we enjoyed this morning? Communion? We had things in common. We communicated with each other. We communicated with heaven. We communicated with God. A failure of communication. I have written a few aeronautical exams, and when I wrote my instrument rating, I can remember the old instructor. He's old man. He's 2 years older than I was anyhow. From the services, so he was a pilot in the last World War, just after, likely, the Korean War, likely. And he said, you always want to know what's going to be on that stupid exam. What's going to be the question so you know the answer? Come on, you know what it's like. What are they going to ask me? He said, one guarantee. And when we talk about flying instruments, that means you're flying when you barely can see the tip of the wings. Because of fog or clouds or whatever, you have no contact with the ground. That's instrument flying. To have that type of endorsement, it requires a big exam and a lot of study. He said, there's one question guaranteed. Everybody you talk to, he said, what's the IFR exam like? One question guaranteed. What will you do in the event of communication failure? What would you do? Sit there? Hope the radio's going to start up again? You would do something about it. There is actually a code that, whether it's the jetliners or the smallest aircraft out there that is flying under what they call IFR flight rules, puts in a code that flashes on the air traffic controller screen. This boy has lost communication. His radio's down. He can no longer communicate. It's interesting how you think sometimes. Remember one time I was going through Montreal airspace? Nothing against you, that group. Not being hard on them this afternoon. And called up the air traffic controller and no response. You know what I'm talking to me? I'm talking to him. Kept on going. 200 mile an hour. Clear day. And I thought, you know, McCann, that's interesting. You have been through this very same airway in July when there's been embedded thunderstorms. And you not only could not see the length of the aircraft, you couldn't see 10 miles ahead to know that you were going into a dark trap that could literally rip that plane apart. And you were so relieved to have that center air traffic controller tell you, listen, here's what's ahead of you. I suggest you deviate a little to the south or to the north. What's making the difference? You know what's making the difference? Clear skies. clear skies. Things going on. I thought I didn't need to talk. Brethren, there's never a time when we don't need to talk. When we don't need to communicate. How about let's bring it down now. We've talked about the husband and wife. We've talked about children in the home and parents. The need of communication. Let's come just on a little further now. What about the assembly? What about the shepherds? Shepherds communicating? Elders in your assembly communicating, brother? Listen, brother, there'll always be that one that is not as easy to communicate with as another. Somebody you'd rather not talk to, are you able to communicate? If it means forcing yourself to call him up to meet him for coffee, to do it, and I know where I speak, I practice it myself. I try to, I push myself to do it. More times than not, I can tell you, and this may be a big digression from what I've got before me, but more times than not, I can tell you of people that I have totally changed my mind about. Do you know when? After I talk to them. Before I talk to them, I had all kinds of suspicions. And that's what they were, suspicions. All kinds of suppositions. Supposing what they thought. Supposing what they were like. You know, after conversation, I came away, I just shook my head, I thought, why did I do that a long time ago? Totally changed my mind about them. These people had their minds changed. These people were supposing things that had happened, that hadn't happened. They were working with wrong suppositions. You know how proper communications literally dissipates that. It's interesting. But when our Old Testament closes, you know that it closes, what Malachi closes his ministry on? They that fear the Lord speak often one to another. Brethren, the fear of God amongst us will put conversation and will put communication in our lives so we can communicate. Ephesians chapter 5, I would suggest to you that the apostle is saying that spirit-filled believers, be not drunk with wine, he says in chapter 5, verse 22, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And he goes on to say, speaking to yourselves, in hymns and songs, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. He's telling you that spirit-filled believers communicate one with another. So it is a mark of spirituality. It is the mark of spirit control in my life. That I can speak intelligently and spiritually and practically and communicate with you. Communications that have to be formed. There was a subject. There was content to this. Notice what's occupying their minds. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior. That's what was occupying them. More than that, into that was this. What their rulers had said. What others had said. But what made the difference is when they brought Christ into it. You know, brethren, that's what we have. We have something and sisters in common. And even though it may be difficult, you know how it is? You get a brother and he's just a little crusty. You know, you'll have those in West Coast, eh? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Start telling him about how happy you were when he got saved. Take him back to conversion's day. Take him back to that time when he had trusted Christ, started for heaven, and thought everybody was angelic. Remind him of that. He'll remind you of it. You'll change your mind about him. He'll change his mind about establishment of fractured communication lines. Brethren and sisters, this may seem so practical and so simple that it may be almost embarrassing to speak like this, but I know wherever I speak. And there is nothing that has done more detriment or tore us apart like where there has been a too long a severance and a fracture in the communications. If I'm speaking to anybody here this afternoon, and you can't communicate with whoever that brother, whoever, if even if it is unconverted people in the world, something they've done to you and they've done wrongly. Even a believer that's done wrongly has offended you and has done something wrong. You have an obligation to go back and do all that you can in your power to put that communication back online. Whatever you can do. I know situations are very sad. I have literally seen this. I can say, brethren, it breaks my heart to see a man put out his hand to shake somebody else's hand and won't shake hands with him. I have saw sisters go to speak to another sister and that sister do a 180 and turn her back on her. Whether you face that, That's something you'll have to deal with. That's something God will deal with you about in time. Communications.
Communications are felt. You notice the result of the communications in this chapter? Now the Savior is brought in, and miles and distance seems like nothing. And suddenly, here's what they're saying. Did not our heart
burn within us while he talked to us? By the way, heart. It had produced, communion had produced union. It had literally welded them together. Well, that's what we want. That's what we want in our homes. That's what we want in the assembly. That's what we want to see.
There's a flow among God's people, not little clicks and so-and-so's over here because that's their group and they're talking together. That's the way the denominations carry on, brothers and sisters. That's not the way we are intended to carry on. But it's nice to be able to move amongst all the saints and being able to speak to them all, shake their hand, communicate with them.
How important it is for even the shepherds in the assembly to be able to move among the flock, to be able to do that. And if there's practical work that's got to be done in this hall in the moving of chairs, you younger brethren get at it. And leave those men that are responsible to the Lord for the flock to move among that flock. All of them. Communicate with them.
You remember that the apostle reminds us in the same epistle, is it the Ephesian epistle, where he speaks about filthy communications out of our mouths? Corrupt communications. The Lord Jesus, even in his own teaching, or the apostle rather, is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, corrupt communications and bad manners. Brethren, God help us to keep our communications clear and clean. Don't stoop. Don't allow yourself to be brought down to where your communication concerning somebody else is nothing but the smut that this world enjoys. Speak of the very best that you can speak of them. It'll produce worship in your soul and appreciation for your fellow believers. More than that, it will literally allow you to have communications ultimately with the one who has saved you to communicate with you.
If we walk in the light, says John, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Listen, brother, if I can't speak to you, brother, you know, how can I get on my knees and speak to God?
I can't speak to you, dear sister. How can I, with open Bible and an honest heart before God, expect God is going to really speak to me?
Because, you see, that's a part of my life that I've shielded off. I've cut that. I've literally severed the nerve link in there. That's just a department that nobody touches. So as a result of it, there's no communication.
Maybe while I'm on this, I had a letter from a young brother. He was very, very serious in his letter, and I could tell he was looking for a little help. And I highlighted it, and I put them in as big a words as possible. And I wrote back to him. I says, brother,
communicate. 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 Now, we communicate by tone. We communicate by attitude.
Do you remember it says concerning the Lord Jesus that they took note how he spoke unto them?
The tone implies a mood. The words imply knowledge. See, it's sometimes not what is said, but it's how it's said that can hurt or can help.
Sometimes a brother can come to you and say very little, but just the way that he said it was a cheer, it was a real lift. There are others that can take a very biting slice out of you by words that were let fly from your tongue or their tongue that should never have escaped.
The result of it? It severs that communication line.
My thanks to God. I'll make an end. The result of this chapter has a very happy ending. Very happy ending. They're not now talking about things that have happened. It's things that have come to pass. No longer the questions in their mark as to what, in their mind as to what marked them before as in unbelief, that is what had happened to the Savior. It's the third day.
It's resurrection ground. These people now are going forward, and they would never forget that time
when they had brought the Lord into it. And when they brought the Lord into it, there was literally the restoration and the recovery of all that could have been lost in a communication breakdown. That's why, brothers and sisters, it's important. As we've been hearing that the Word of God be an open book in our home, and that we read it together, that we get on our knees and we pray, thank God about it. That produces communication. So I'll tell you something. A young couple said to me not long ago, they said, well, you know, we don't have any children yet, so we don't read and pray together. I said, get going. Get started. Get doing it now. Because it's pretty hard to... I can remember my own experience on that. Really, boy, it's amazing what you want to tell when you're a long ways away from home. But I forget what had happened. You know, if my wife must have been acting up or something. Something was on. Come breakfast time. And we read the scriptures, and we do to this day together and get down on our knees and pray. Now, there was nothing real serious or real heavy that was on, but I can tell you this. When I get up off my knees, I was a changed man. If there's a danger that communication was being fractured, it suddenly had been welded together at the throne of grace, because now there had been two people communicating with the same God. That's Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Brethren and sisters, in God's name, let me leave this meeting this afternoon with this truth. The absolute indispensability of communication at every level of our Christian experience. That's why the brethren encourage you to come to prayer meeting.
Every meeting of the assembly. It's not just the world talks about their communion meeting. Because you see, in that assembly we communicate. That's why they encourage you to take part in the worship as you do on Lord's Day morning.
That we might communicate. Because you see, if we communicate with Him, it's not hard to communicate with each other. Do you know why that is? Because we've been able to communicate at the very highest level. Now that doesn't mean that people that are few words and people that are very quiet can't communicate, because they can. Quite often what they've got to say has a lot more worth and value to listening to than some of us that are so free and so quick with our words. But let me say just as I close, brethren, that's what heaven's going to be all about. It's communication. Let's keep it together while we're here on earth. It will strengthen our assemblies. It will make our homes. And it will bring joy and delight to the heart of the God that has saved us. God bless you.
Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bow and thank Thee for Thy kindness to us this meeting this afternoon. We think of Thy dear people here that travel back and forth across the city to the gospel meetings, and we appreciate their support so much. And we thank our Father for coming, many of them come in time for the prayer meeting even. Lord, we thank Thee for their sacrifice, and even coming out again this afternoon to this ministry meeting, we give thanks for it and pray that Thou bless them and each that have come. Thank Thee, Lord, for reminding us of these Old Testament pictures that we have from the Word of God, and how that we are viewed in such simple terms, and yet, Lord, with such dignity and such simple to understand, Lord, the need of our movements, one before another and one with another, in this world among whom we must shine as lights in a dark place. The Lord grant help, we pray. Remember the gospel tonight here and in the various halls. Grant help, bless as the gospel goes forth, we pray, as we thank Thee. Lord, above all, if Thou didst ever speak to us, what a marvelous thing when Adam confessed those words, I heard Thy voice. O God, had Adam never heard Thy voice, we'd have never heard it. Here we are today, and we thank Thee that we know of Thy grace, we've heard Thy voice in the gospel. A God that had every reason never to communicate with man again was the God in grace and mercy, has in these last days spoken unto us in Son. So we thank Thee for communication from heaven. Blessed in our hearts and among us as God's people, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen.